Is Jesus enough? This is our question today. Maybe you've heard a question similar to this. Maybe you've asked a question similar to this. If you've ever encountered or interacted with another human being, you know we have opinions. Amen? That we bring our opinions. Our world has lots of opinions about what they believe. They're happy to share with us how we invest our time, our energy, our effort to suggest which way to go. But unfortunately, for most of us, and including myself, we sometimes give opinions as if they're one size fits all. Have you ever had someone give you their opinion and think, not quite how my life is going? And what makes sense for you does not always make sense for me. For example, there was a man who was asked to give dating advice to men, other men, who were really nervous about asking a girl out. Maybe you've had this experience where you were getting ready to ask somebody out, and you were just kind of like unsure of what to do. And so this was their advice. They said, if you like her, just ask her. It always works for me, right? Sounds like fantastic advice, right? Just instills confidence. Go after what you want, assuming that it almost always works out. But I'll tell you, the advice looks a little different when you realize who you're getting it from. And so this is a quote from this gentleman right here, Henry Cavill. And so he says, if you like her, just ask her out. It always works for me. And you have to wonder, maybe your life is different than mine, right? I'm not Superman. I'm not, the top most attractive man on magazines, all that kind of stuff. And so he gives this advice, and people are like, are you serious? Like, your life is not like mine. Just ask her out. It always works for me. Well, duh, right? And so, of course, I love the internet for very few reasons, but here's one that people began to share similar advice that was absurd, and so they shared this. If you want it, just buy it. Elon Musk, right? Just buy it. It's not a big deal. No big deal. If you're short, just be tall. Shaquille O'Neal, right? Just be tall. It's not a big deal. Get platform shoes or something. If you want to be fast, just run. Usain Bolt, right? He's just going to give you some advice. Just run. You'll get faster, right? Or this one obviously was my favorite. If you die, just resurrect, right? No big deal. And so people are willing to give their opinion as if it will exactly match your life. Again, it could be solid advice. It could be just leading with confidence. But of course, there are things that don't quite work for everybody. People are happy to give their opinion as if it's the same for each and every one of us. Just do this. Just follow these steps exactly, and you'll have the identical results. So why do Christians feel so confident in sharing Jesus not as an opinion, but as a universal truth? This is one of those things where we find the Apostle Paul speaking to this exact kind of question, this struggle. Is Jesus enough? Is it just another opinion, or is it something more? As he writes a letter to a church he didn't start and people he didn't meet. And so we pick up here in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 15 through 20. I have it here. I apologize if it's a little small, but I have it here on the screen as well. And I'm reading out of the NIV. You may have a different translation. This is sometimes referred to as the Christ hymn. But he's talking about the person of Jesus, the person of Christ. It says this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this powerful truth that Paul speaks into this world. We ask today as we wrestle with these questions of is Jesus enough, that you would speak to our hearts, you would speak to our minds, that you would remove opinions, that you would remove maybe our preferences, and allow us to see the truth that you offer in the person of Jesus. God, our hearts are open. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so we ask this question, is Jesus enough? Is he enough? And that's a tough question some days. The question is easier on some days and harder on others. I think I have my health, I have my family, I'm employed, maybe I have some money in the bank. Jesus is enough, right? Okay, I'm doing all right today. But when those factors begin to change, other opinions begin to creep in. When life is not going quite the way it should, we find people really lining up to tell us where we've messed up. Maybe you've had that encounter where something goes wrong and you got a whole list of people that are just eager to say, I told you so. They're just eager to say, well, if it was me, I would have done this, right? You missed the mark. Maybe even you brought it on yourself. We have people that sometimes speak that into our lives. And in one of my marketing classes, I did MBA in marketing, which by the end I realized it was just ways to sort of trick people into buying things. It was a strange encounter. I loved the education, but it was really it was tough for me to navigate with the church world. But they described the sales technique, and maybe you've never heard called this, but maybe you can think through ways in which that you've encountered this in your life. And it's called the PAS, the problem, agitation, solution. So first it's, here's what's wrong with your life. Here's the problem. Someone says, man, this is the problem. And then they agitate. They say, here's why it's worse than you realize. Oh, man, I'm so glad I'm here to help you because you're in bad shape. You thought you had a problem. Man, you got a really big problem. And then the solution, here's what you need. And you know what? We can provide it, right? And so this idea that that sometimes there's this pitch that there's something wrong with your life. Someone comes along and says, man, you have no idea how bad it is right now. And then they say, but fortunately, I can help you. And it's not a new approach. Unfortunately, it's not going away. Maybe you've had this a tough sales pitch. We have people in our community here that solicit for windows and trees and all that kind of stuff. And I can't tell you how many times someone said, oh man, that tree's coming down any minute. We need to cut that whole thing down. Or these windows are costing you thousands of dollars a year on electricity. They're just, it's a waste. It's worse than you think. But fortunately, man, we have windows for you, right? We have a chainsaw. We can cut this tree down. And we have to be on guard, not just with solicitors, but we have to be self-aware enough to not let us pull us off track. It happens even in the church. Someone identifies loneliness, maybe a financial problem. They identify family problems, lack of purpose, anxiety, all those things. They intensify this sense that maybe there's spiritual warfare. Maybe you've been to places where there's a devil behind every bush, that God is just not showing up, and the devil is here, and he's doing all these things, and he's creating this horrible problem in your life, and there's a program or a product or something that they're trying to push on you. And I think it's important for us to distinguish this idea that the gospel tells us we're broken and we need Jesus. Amen? We know that. But manipulation tells us you're broken and conveniently I have blank that can fix you, right? It's something outside of this encounter with Jesus. And I think over and over again we see this throughout Scripture, especially the early church. In fact, about 1965 years ago, give or take, a man named Epaphras sought out the Apostle Paul, who was imprisoned. And he was imprisoned for sharing that Christ is the resurrected Lord. He was saying, this is who it is. I know, without a doubt, this is who it is. And he ends up in prison. And this man is the one who leads the church in Colossae. And he shares with Paul that people are doing amazing things, that people are great, the church is moving, and they're doing wonderful things, but they're under this tremendous pressure that's kind of pulling them in every direction. And on one extreme, there's what we would call like the mystical polytheism is sort of the term for it, where people worshiped other gods. They worshipped Hermes for money. They worshipped Apollo for music. They worshipped Aphrodite for fertility, all those things. And they just sort of thought, well, let's just include Jesus in the mix as one of the gods, right? Let's just kind of make a statue of Jesus. We'll set it off to the side. And when we need something that Jesus offers, we'll go there. If we need something else, we'll find one of the other gods. And so there's this extreme that's beginning to pull people as they worry, is Jesus enough? And then there's the other extreme, where there's teachers kind of pressing this Jewish religion, this practice on Gentile Christians. And so they're sort of holding on to these things, these strict observances of the Torah, the law, this legalistic approach to how you live your life. They saw non-Jewish Christians as a group that needed to conform to these laws. Things like a kosher diet, you know, the way in which they ate, the way in which they encountered a meal together, or a cleanliness techniques. Observing sacred days that if they didn't observe the sacred days, they weren't right before God. And the ever so popular request for grown Gentile men to be circumcised, right? You know, that's just one you want to sign up for in the early world, right? And so we see this throughout the start of the early church, that people go back and forth on what it is people actually need to do, that there's this pull to the very legalistic side of things. And the pull that the church is feeling was based on the idea that Jesus was not enough. That even if they believed in Jesus, there were voices on all sides shouting all kinds of things. And there were other things pulling in different directions, but every turn, another opinion. And so you think in your world, something similar to what this early church was experiencing, their crops fail. Their business collapses. Their health is struggling. Their standing in society is not good. Even their ability to have a family is a struggle, and it all becomes the target of opinion. People saying, well, if only you had prayed to this God who could have helped you, you'd be in better shape. And on the other stream, if only you had followed the law better, your life would be better. Again, this isn't a new problem in our world. This is something that comes with interacting with other humans, other people in creation. We all have opinions of what we should and shouldn't do. And Paul hears this struggle from this pastor who's trying so hard to lead his church well. And he's compelled to write to a community he has never met, people he doesn't really know, a city he's not familiar with, because he knows the pressure all around can lead people to ask this question. Again, it's the question we come to. Is Jesus really enough? Is he really enough for all the things that happen in my world? Is he really enough for the encounters that I'm going to have with maybe people in my career, my business, my family, my society? I've shared this before. I didn't grow up in the church, but I've spent many years in the church since coming to faith. And I couldn't count how many times I've heard or even thought this variation of this question, that is Jesus really enough? I say this, it's I don't know if theologically it's correct, but you'll give me some grace here. I've seen wonderful things happen to people who seemed undeserving. Maybe you've had that experience, right? Man, amazing things. You're like, really? They're going to be blessed. And I've won away. I've seen terrible things happen to people that seem so faithful. And I've wondered, and maybe you've wondered, whether there ought to be some kind of backup plan, right? Man, is Jesus really enough? Just in case Jesus really isn't enough when it comes to my career, my retirement plan, my relationships, my family, and we begin to be pulled in different directions. I've seen people in health crises be pulled towards the spiritual world outside of faith. There's plenty of health trends that lead to other religions, other ways in which of encountering this spiritual realm that people aren't really aware of until they get down the road and realize, I've walked away from the person of Jesus in parts of my life. I've also seen people step so far into legalism of their faith that they've driven every single person away. Maybe you've had somebody that you've encountered that is so legalistic about everything that's in Scripture or their interpretation that they'll gladly tell you how you're wrong about everything. That there's all these boundaries and lines and all these things, these hoops you have to jump through. And Paul says that leaning in either direction is a compromise. This is why he's so passionate. He hears about this dilemma and immediately writes a letter. He thinks, I have to speak truth into this. Not an opinion, but a universal truth of creation. God has revealed in the person of Jesus this truth that stands above all other things. And he says, I offer to you to help you stay the course. The people of Colossae, they used to be fearful of the spiritual world. We see this all throughout the Roman world, that they lived their life in a way that they didn't want to upset the gods. They didn't want to provoke them. They felt like the gods would take vengeance on them. And so they kind of bobbed and weaved. They hid. They prayed when they felt like they upset a certain god or did something wrong to try and get back in the good graces. But Paul says Jesus triumphs over all spiritual powers through his resurrection. He frees them from any obligation of trinkets and rituals. We've seen amazing things happen in Scripture as people turn away from worshiping other gods, that it changes cities, it changes communities, it changes families. Paul says you've been freed from those things. He says Jesus also fulfilled the law, which always lacked the power to change our hearts, that it was this way of doing these things to try and be right before God, to be right before this holy God that we couldn't have connection with. And Jesus makes that connection for us. That those things are good, that it's good for us to pray, it's good for us to be generous, it's good for us to be kind and share with our neighbors, it's good for us to care for those in need or lift up those who are oppressed. But that's not the ticket to get in. He says Jesus pays those things. He fulfills the law. He says Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is a complete story. He says it lacks nothing. And Paul's saying to the Colossians and to you and to me that there are going to be 1,000 voices that tell you Jesus isn't enough. Maybe you've encountered something just even on your ride here. On the radio, somebody trying to sell you something. Your life would be better if you do this, buy this, take this vacation, if your children behave this way, if your house was a little bit bigger, if your car was a little bit faster, if you joined the lovely world of boat people, right? It's like a whole world, boat people. There's the boat wave and all that kind of stuff. Like selling you this idea that your life will be better. I love a boat, but I'm not gonna pin my whole life on these things. It says there's 1,000 voices that are going to speak to you. They're going to tell you this is what you need because Jesus isn't enough. The world always says you need more and more and more. More money, more success, more security, more control, more experiences, more knowledge, more activity. We may hear, we've talked about it before, sometimes the church does a poor job and says you need to pray harder, you need to try harder, you need to do more, you need to be better, follow the rules more. And Jesus will love you more and more. We realize that there's nothing we can do that will let Jesus love us more than he already does. He wants what's best for us. And sometimes those things can be good. But Paul says there's something deeper. Jesus is not to be supplemented. He doesn't need something to add to him to make him enough. Because if you want to know what God is like, he says, look to Jesus. Look to this person that we've seen. He says, if you want to know whether God is powerful enough to hold our life together, look at Jesus. If you want to know whether God can reconcile what is broken, look to Jesus. If you want to know whether God has defeated sin and death, look to Jesus. Jesus isn't simply one more thing we add to life that we've already built. Jesus is the one thing whom everything else is supposed to make sense around. And so it brings us to this question, is Jesus really enough? Again, it's a question that we ask depending on how our day is going, that there are things that kind of creep in. And maybe today your answer is an easy yes, right? Your marriage is good, your kids are healthy, your career is going well, you've got money in the bank, life feels pretty good. It's easy to say yes, Jesus is enough today. But when are those things begin to change? And they aren't like the others. When there's a diagnosis, a relationship that fails, a job that disappears, a retirement plan that doesn't quite look right, something you've prayed for years that just doesn't seem to show up. When you look around and see someone who seems to have everything you thought God would give them, and yet it doesn't make sense. They don't follow this this God, and yet they're blessed. Or maybe they follow and are faithful and have all these things falling apart in their life, and you wonder, what's the disconnect? That question becomes very real when things are not going well. Is Jesus enough? At what point, as things begin to fall off, do we start to question? We know, and this is a powerful picture from the early church as they experienced real difficulty in encountering a culture that was very against this movement of equality among all people, against this movement of speaking up for the oppressed, against this movement of inviting people to exist together that should not be in community. The Christian answer isn't Jesus is enough because nothing bad has happened to me. The question is, Jesus is enough because even when everything else comes easier, and he remains. Paul doesn't promise our circumstances will become easier. In fact, Paul's life shows that he went from living a pretty good life. He had authority and power. He had standing. And as he began to follow Jesus, his life began a series of dealing with pushback, being thrown in jail, being persecuted. Following Jesus doesn't make our life more comfortable. But he says, Jesus is the one who is there before all creation. The one who all things were made. The one who holds all things together. The one who is the image of the invisible God. He says, look to Jesus, this example that we have. The one who went to the cross. The one who defeated death. The one who is reconciling all things to himself. And he speaks to that community the same as he speaks to us. And he says, don't trade away what you have, because another voice promises you something more. Don't abandon grace for legalism. Don't abandon Christ for superstition. Don't abandon relationship for ritual. Don't abandon the freedom of the gospel because someone tells you you need something else to make your life complete. And so maybe the question today isn't this, is Jesus enough in theory? Maybe our question that we ask when we ask this is a little bit deeper. What am I holding on to as my backup plan? This is what Paul is speaking to the early church. This is the struggle that always comes as culture and questions and opinions begin to creep in, as our life goes really well and we wonder why, as our life falls apart and we wonder why, we ask this question, do I need something else? Is Jesus enough? Do I need more security? Do I need something that gives me more identity? Do I need more purpose than maybe what Jesus has to offer? Do I need more control than maybe what Jesus has to offer? We would rather hold on to things as best we can. We can say Jesus is enough with our mouths while spending our entire lives looking for something else to make us feel secure. And Paul invites us to stop looking around and look to the one who holds all things. He says, we don't need to understand everything in the world. We simply need to trust in him and know that all things are held together through him. Jesus is enough. This is what Paul is telling us. Jesus is enough. He's enough for your questions. He's enough for your doubts. He's enough for your failures. He's enough for your fears. He's enough for your future. He says every time it begins to creep in that maybe there's something else you need, there's an add-on to this person of Jesus, he says you need to speak this truth, that Jesus is enough. He's enough for the things you understand and enough for the things you don't. Paul speaks these powerful words into a community of believers knowing that this will be a problem in all of creation, in a broken, fallen world, that time and time again, opinions will creep in, that people will be drawn off by this idea that maybe Jesus isn't enough in my life, in your life, in my world. Maybe it worked for somebody else, but not for me. Paul says boldly, he says unabashedly, not as opinion, but as fact, Jesus is enough. And so today, we ask, what's holding us back? What are the things that we hold on to just a little bit tighter? Instead of trusting that Jesus is enough in our world. Let's pray.